Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have a real expectation. I always get excited about Christmas. I have since I was a very little boy. I'm not one of these blah humbug. I am one of these, is it Christmas yet? Can't wait. And today, for me, this has just been so exciting through this whole service as we've just been so aware that God is here. And it's my joy to speak to you today on the subject that love is here. I want to read a familiar passage of scripture to you. It's found in the Gospel of Luke verse 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to just speak for a few moments on this thought, making room for Jesus. A number of years ago, a good friend of mine says, "Oh, Neil, we had a tricky, sticky Christmas day." I says, "What do you mean? You're going to have to explain that to me." He says, "Well, my wife has been saying to me for months that there was a particular watch that she wanted. She was very clear. She actually told us where we could get it from. She made sure that we knew exactly the color that she wanted. In fact, she left nothing to chance. This was what she wanted for Christmas." He said, "I thought I'd play a little trick on her." He says, "So when Christmas Day came, here was this lovely big parcel for my wife. She looked at me smiling. And she opened the parcel, and what I had done," my friend said, "is I had bought her this lovely coat." Well, her face fell. She didn't want to spoil it for the rest of us, so she took the coat out, she looked at the coat, and she tried it on, and then put the coat down. I could tell she was discouraged, and I wanted to say to her, "Try the coat on again. Please try it on again." But no, she went through to the kitchen and started to prepare the Christmas dinner. So the kid says, Mommy, please come on through and try on the coat." "No," she says, "I'll do it in a while." "No, Mommy, come and try the coat on again." She came through and she put the coat on. And when she did, she put up the zip and put her hands in the pockets. And there in the pockets, said my friend, I had put her watch. You know what? She almost missed it. And because she almost missed it, my friend, I want to tell you, we almost missed Christmas. Well, I want you to come on a very familiar journey with me, please, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's a familiar story, one that we know so well. We know that Caesar has said there has got to be a census. Everyone must make their way back to hometown. And for Joseph and Mary, this meant that they were making their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Do you know that that's a journey of approximately 60 to 80 miles? Could you imagine? They reckoned that it would have taken them 5 days plus. Remember, my friend, no lovely motorhome where Mary can relax and Joseph can take his time as he's driving there. No SUV with comfortable seats, not even a car. Probably by donkey, certainly by foot, they have to make this journey. And did I mention this? Mary is 9 months pregnant. I think we'd all agree that this is pretty inconvenient. What an inconvenient time for them. I mean, come on, Caesar, really? A census now? We're getting ready to have our firstborn child. Really? Your timing, Caesar, is out? Actually, the timing was spot on because it had already been declared through prophecy in the book of Micah that the child would be born in the place called Bethlehem. Well, how was God going to get Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Could you imagine Joseph saying to Mary, "Hey, darling, do you fancy going on a road trip? Let's go to hometown." Yeah, my friend, you know exactly what Mary would have said to Joseph. But the Bible says that in the fullness of time, right timing, that God had that census take place so that that child would be born where he was prophesied to be born. What an inconvenience. You know what I've discovered? Sometimes the inconveniences of life are used by God to frame our world. God sovereignly is working in all things, through all things, for our good. They arrive at this town called Bethlehem. It's hustle and bustle. It's a busy time. There's no family reunion. There's no homely welcome. You know, the custom of the Jewish nation is one of hospitality. And they haven't made reservations at the inn. They arrive weary, tired, exhausted. Joseph knocks on the door. Knock, knock, knock. To hear these words that we are familiar with, there is no room for them at the inn. Oh, what about this innkeeper? I have heard so many sermons spoken about this innkeeper. I've heard people say that he was indifferent. Think about this. He was a shrewd businessman and business was good. Staycation was happening. People were coming into the small town. He had never seen his inn so busy. It had never been a season like this. I mean, this was excited. This was about a boost and a bonus. He was being industrious. This was his time to make some money. And I've heard people preach that about the innkeeper. Or maybe he was just simply being indecisive. Suddenly, a young couple appear at his inn. The inn is full. It's late. What is he going to do? Is he going to tell people to give up their space? Is he going to give up his room? He's already done that. Come on. This is a time to make some money. Maybe he's just slightly indecisive. I actually think the truth of the matter is that he was uninformed. He did not know who it was that was asking him, "Have you any room?" Think about this, my friend. There was no choir of angels like appeared to the shepherds. There was no star in the sky that the wise man saw. And there was no angel Gabriel that came to make this great pronunciation. No, my friend, little did the innkeeper know that love was there. How did he miss it? A little boy was cuddling into the arms of his mother. And his mother said to him, "Son, what do you want for Christmas?" And the little boy looked across to a photograph of his father that was in a frame. His dad was out in Afghanistan serving his country. And listen to what the little boy says. "You know what I really want for Christmas, Mom? I want Daddy to step out of that frame." Do you know what Christmas is about? The fact that God loved you and I so much that he sent Jesus to step out of the frame. He stepped down from heaven to be born in a manger, to be born of a woman. The Bible refers to him as Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful story it is. You know, it's quite interesting when I think about this nativity because actually there is no mention of an innkeeper. We suppose that because the words were said, there were no room, that it must have been an innkeeper. But actually, he is never mentioned. What do? We insert him into the story, and that's understandable. But I wonder right now, my friend, could we insert ourselves into the story? I mean, what would you have done if you were that innkeeper? I'm sure that most of us reflecting right now would say, Neil, I would have made room. If I'd seen that pregnant young girl, I would have done whatever it took to make room for her. You know, it's easy to think that. It's easy to say that. How did the innkeeper miss it? But my friend, let me ask you the question. Because the truth of the matter right now is you and I, we are the innkeepers of our heart. Notice that we read there was no room in the inn, but room was made for them in a stable close to the inn. And I think sometimes at Christmas, we're happy for Christ to be close. We are just not too sure if we want him to be in our heart. You see, my friend, yes, you and I, we are the doorkeepers of our heart. Would you make room for Jesus in the rooms of your heart? I wonder, would you make room for him in your decision making? Would you make room for him in your marriage? Would you make room for him in your workplace, in your school, in your dreams and your ambitions? Do you have room for Jesus? You see, perhaps that innkeeper was uninformed, but tonight we're not uninformed. We're very aware of the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the story of Christmas is about Jesus. It's about the fact that God the Father made room for us. And Jesus says to us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is he knocking at? My friend, he's knocking at the door of our heart, waiting for us to invite him in. One of the things I love to help my wife do is to get all the Christmas decorations up. My responsibility is to get them from the attic, the tree and the different baubles and all the various decorations that will be put up over this Christmas season. And it's funny because there's an excitement when you're taking them down from the attic that, it's not such a good feeling when you're wrapping them all up and putting them back away for another 11, 12 months until Christmas comes around next year. And I wonder how many of us, we take Jesus out for Christmas. We're happy to speak about Jesus over Christmas. We'll give him center stage of our heart at Christmas, but then we put him away into the corner the rest of the year. My friend, the story of Christmas is the story that love came down. Don't miss Christmas this year. Would you be challenged to invite Christ to come into your heart, to reorganize your life, to reprioritize your life? Perhaps you're a Christian, but you know that Jesus is on the back of your life. Would you bring him center and forward and make room for him? The Bible says that it is good news. Good news, not bad news. Good news for all mankind. That's you, my friend, and that's me. And the good news is this. We don't need to be indecisive. We don't need to be indifferent because we are informed that love is here. Well, would you make room for Jesus right now? My friend, let me pray for you. My God, as we have so enjoyed this service today, we have sang together. Oh, we have laughed at the elves. Our kids have been wonderful and our youth ministry exceptional. But God, in this moment, we make a choice to make room for you, center stage. Come into my heart, fill my life, be my master and savior. In Jesus' name. Well, I pray that you have a Merry Christmas because you've made room for Jesus. Don't miss it, my friend. It's the true meaning.